Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. To learn more about City Place Church, visit cityplacechurch.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at City Place Church. Hey, everybody. Welcome to City Place Church. My name is Damon Moore. I, along with my wife, we are the lead pastors. Her name is Taisha. We are the lead pastors of City Place Church. And I am so excited to continue our series, Weak Eyes, today with Open Eyes. Open Eyes. I'm so excited that we get a chance to spend some time. Make sure you download your notes. We lean in level 10 here. Come on, everybody, lean in level 10. Let me see them hands. Lean in level 10, which means we remove distractions, we engage in today's message, and we take notes. You can find those notes at cityplacechurch.com/notes. It is going to be good today. Good today. And then the final thing is two things. You probably saw it a little bit earlier, but Motion Conference happens this week for your high school, middle school, and college students. You can get all of that information. Trust me, you don't want to miss it. Tens of thousands of students are gathering literally all across the United States for a high impact conference, and you don't want your students to miss that. Pull them into church. Tell them you are going to have an encounter with God this summer. And so you can gather all of that information, cityplacechurch.com. Listen, if you register, the reason why we're having you register, even though it's free, no charge, we want you to register online so that we can know you're coming, and we want to be able to connect with your students throughout the day. The final thing is couples, married folk, those of you who are single and believing God for your spouse, this Friday night, Pastor Ty and I have two awesome friends. They are part of the team of Marriage Today, where they travel throughout the United States and help people thrive in their relationships. And so Sean and Lynette Reed will be with us this Friday night. Also, go to cityplacechurch.com. You want to register there. It's absolutely free. We got some things that we're giving away this Friday night, 7:30. Go do that. Trust me. I promise you, you will be blessed. Okay? Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to read some verses. I'm going to pop in, pop out, and then we're going to have an impactful, challenging day, I believe, in Jesus' name. Remember, our focus today is open eyes. Open eyes. You ready? Let's go. 2 Kings chapter 6. It says this. Now, the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there." Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "No, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet, he's the one that's doing this. He's the one that tells the king of Israel the words that you speak. He's seeing all this take place from wherever he is." Verse 13. And so he said, "Go and see where he is, that we may send and go get him. Let's attack him." And it was told, saying, "He's in Dothan." Therefore, the king sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant, verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And the servant said to him, "My master, what are we going to do?" Come on, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that as we dive into your word, Father, we thank you that lives are going to be changed. I pray that the word of God moves through every house with clarity, precision, and power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So give context to the story. The Bible says that the king of Syria is set out to bring an attack to the people of Israel, and God reveals to Elisha that the attack is going to take place. And Elisha tells the king of Israel, "Listen, this is not the way you want to go." And so the king of Syria finds out that Elisha is the one who is undermining his plot. And he tells his servant, he says, "Listen, go and get Elisha because he is causing trouble to our plan. You know, I don't know about you, but there's something about being able to step in and spoil what the enemy's trying to do. See, you and I have been strategically placed in this moment, in this time, to expose what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to divide. He's trying to leave our nation in a place of unrest. What if you and I could look and see what the enemy was trying to do and say, not today? But the enemy is clearly going to be one that is going to try to resist the fact that you are going to defend your territory. So he says, listen, go and find Elisha. And it says that he sends chariots and he sends horses and he sends a great army to surround where Elisha was. And in verse 15 is where we're going to begin our journey. We're going to go down to tarmac, y'all, and then we're just going to take off. It says that the servant comes and he says to the man of God, is how it's described. He says, listen, when I looked outside, I saw chariots, horses, and an army surrounding our whole city. There was a phrase that jumped out to me. It said that there was a servant and it said the man of God. Can I just pause right here really fast? As we're talking about open eyes, there's a place where I want us to sit as we lean more and more into this series, Weak Eyes. Here's what the Lord was showing me just in those three words, man of God, is that children of God should grow and mature to be men and women of God. Did you get that? Children of God should grow and mature to be men and women of God. It starts off early on by saying the man of God said, and then it said the prophet of God said. So the prophet is one who can hear what God is saying and see what God is seeing. And so he says to his leader, he says, listen, we are surrounded by these attacks. But throughout this whole process, Elisha has been seeing what God sees, hearing what God hears, and is not afraid to release what God is saying or declare what God is seeing. And so I was thinking about this phrase of spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. When I saw man of God, all I could see was spiritual maturity. I saw a servant and I saw one who was mature. I saw a servant. I saw one who was mature. And here's what the Lord was showing me about spiritual maturity. And trust me, we will end up in our focus today, open eyes. Spiritual maturity. I want you to write this down because this is important for where we're going to end up. Spiritual maturity requires consistent, intense pursuit of the person, presence, and power of God. Write that down. Spiritual maturity requires consistent, intense pursuit of the person, presence, and power of God. See, if you look back at Elisha's history, Elisha, the Bible says, was working in a field. And it says that while he was working in a field, there was a man by the name of Elijah, who was a prophet of God. And it says that Elijah's getting a little bit older. He's been a little tired. He's been working for God, declaring what God says, declaring what God sees. And in a conversation with God, Elijah says, I could use a little bit of help. And God says, I've got somebody for you. And so Elisha is out there working in the field, and Elijah goes by, and the Bible says in Kings, it says that he throws his jacket, his mantle on his shoulder. And it says that Elisha turns and says, I am going to follow you. I am going to leave everything that I have and I'm going to follow you. So it says that Elisha became a servant and he began to serve the man of God. So Elisha was once young, but then he decided that he was going to attach himself to something that was going to grow him. He was going to go deeper in his relationship, watch now to relate it, in his relationship with God, so that he didn't stay in one place, but that he could be mature to another place. So it says that he left where he was and he began to follow Elijah. And as stories go in 2 Kings chapter 2, God has told Elijah that, hey, man, I'm about to bring you up to heaven. And so Elijah's having this conversation with Elisha. And he says, now, listen, I'm about to go to some spots and I'm about to leave. And so what I want you to do is I want you to stay here. You have to read it. And Elisha says, my father, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going with you. I'm not staying here. I'm going with you. And so Elijah says, come on, boy. So it says they go to the second place. And Elijah repeats the same thing. Hey, God's about to take me up. I want you to stay right here. I'm going over there. Elijah says, no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying with you. He says, all right, come on. Third time. They get to the place. And this is what Elijah says. He says, now listen, I'm about to go over the water here. I want you to stay here. And because Elijah was so consistent in his intense pursuit, he says, I am not going anywhere. I am connected to you. My life has been changed since I've been connected to you. He says, I'm not going anywhere. And Elijah says, come on. Well, when they get over to the other side of the river, Elijah has this conversation with Elisha, because Elisha has been consistent in his intense pursuit of the presence and the person and the power of God that was resting on Elijah. Here's what Elijah says. He says, and watch, this is what it says in 2 Kings chapter 2, 9 through 12. It says, and so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away? And Elisha said, please let me have a double portion of your spirit. The spirit of God that's on you, let it rest on me double. And so he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, watch now, if you see me, everybody say see. Come on, say see. He says, if you see me, you will be taken. When I'm taken from you, it shall be so. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened as they continued on and they kept talking that suddenly, watch, a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha, verse 12, watch now. And Elisha saw and cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. Elisha, from the time that he was young, when he first connected in a relationship with God, he said that I am going to have a consistent, intense pursuit of the person, the presence, and the power of Father God. See, if you and I are going to be spiritually mature, we are children of God, which means we have to grow into mature men and women of God. He said, I am going to stay by your side through the highs and the lows. I am going to be connected to you because I want to have your spirit rest on me. And Elijah said this. He said, now listen, if your eyes are open and you can see me and you don't take your eyes off of me, then what rests on me will rest on you. Can I tell you that so many times we look through our own eyes and God is like, keep your eyes on me, keep your eyes on me, keep your eyes on me, keep your eyes on me. When we keep our eyes on God, our eyes begin to open. Today's focus is open eyes. See, Elisha had moved from being a servant to a man. See, God wants to move you from just having a surface style relationship where you feel like it's just a duty to being a mature, grown man and woman of God. Here's the second thing. Write this down. Spiritual maturity requires me dropping, watch now, I put this down, childish or unnecessary behavior. Spiritual maturity requires me dropping childish or unnecessary behavior. Here's what Peter said in 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word of God that you may grow, everybody say grow, thereby
that you might grow thereby. He says, push everything away. If you're starting out as a newborn baby, you desire the pure milk of God's word, but it gets more and more intense as you move from baby to adult. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, this is Paul talking. He says, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. Verse 2, I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't. For you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another, quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? Paul says, now listen, you have taken a step as children of God, but you haven't grown into mature men and women of God. He says, now you started with the milk and you're still drinking the milk. He says, because you still have some childish and unnecessary behaviors. He says, now I want to give you more and more, but I can't give you the more and more because you're still drinking the milk. Can I tell you that God wants to give you and I more and more, but we still drink just sometimes the infancy of our behavior and our relationship with God. See, spiritual maturity is going to require you and I to drop some of our behavior. Now, I know what you're thinking. What does this have to do with open eyes? No, listen. See, open eyes take place and begin. Watch now. Open eyes are spiritually maturing eyes. Open eyes are spiritually maturing eyes. So if I go back to 2 Kings, the reason why Elisha was beginning to see the enemy's plot was because God had begun to mature his eyes. Remember, I told you in 2 Kings chapter 2, when he saw and kept his eyes on Elijah, the spirit that was on Elijah came on him. See, when my eyes are open, my eyes are maturing spiritually. And that's what God wants to do. But in order to do that, I have to have that consistent, intense pursuit of the person, the presence, and the power of Father God. And I have to drop childish and unnecessary behavior. See, I wrote this. You and I can be physically mature by age, but spiritually immature. We can be physically mature by age, but spiritually immature. And so Paul and Peter, they're saying, listen, drop anything that would impact your maturity. I realize this, and I don't know if you guys have heard this stat, but they say that when babies are born, it takes them months before they can begin to see an image. So when we had our kids, I'm in their face and I'm like, oh, don't you know that daddy loves you? And I'm making all these sounds and I'm making these faces and they can't see a thing. And I'm making, oh, hey, how you doing? And all they can see are like just some shades of color. See, when we're talking about dropping the childish behavior, and when Peter and Paul are saying, hey, listen, you start off on the milk, but you got to move past the milk. You can't just stay in infancy. It's because infancy only sees, they can't see clear. And so Elijah says, I have had an encounter with God to where my open eyes are maturing my eyes spiritually. Third thing, spiritual maturity requires assurance and trust in the Lord your God. Spiritual maturity requires assurance and trust in the Lord your God. And let's hop back to the text we were reading. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16. Verse 15, the servant says, we are surrounded by chariots and horses and a great army. Verse 16, here's what Elisha says. He says, because I've been pursuing God, I've been pursuing the person, the power, and the presence of God. I put away childish behaviors. Like I'm done with that. He says, I am resting fully assured and trust in the Lord. And here's his response in 2 Kings 6:16. He says, "Don't fear, servant of mine, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Say what? Don't fear, because those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Okay, time out. In the natural, we're surrounded. But in spiritual maturity, with eyes wide open, this is the same God that I chased after when Elijah was walking. This is the same God who allowed me to receive a double portion of his spirit and his power. This is the same God that is allowing miracles to flow through my hands, servant. And this is the same God who showed me the attack of the enemy coming against the people of Israel. This is the same God who's surrounding us right now. Can I tell you that when you and I have open eyes, and open eyes are the result of God's, you know, maturing our eyes spiritually, you and I can sit back in the middle of pandemic and craziness in time and say, God is in this place. Because the Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? I know it's hard to say that sometimes because you and I walk through certain things, but when our eyes are wide open and they are spiritually maturing, we can say, no matter what we walk through, God is here. God is here. Can you say that right where you are? God is here. He looks at his servant and he says, "Hey, young whippersnapper," one who is still going to have an encounter with God, who can't really see like I see just yet. He says, "God is here." And he says, "Those that are with us are more than those that are against us." If I can take you to imagery, it says that when he saw Elijah being taken up, he saw chariots and horses surrounding Elijah. So he already knows that God is surrounding him. Can I tell you that God, no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, you are surrounded by the very person, presence, and power of God himself. Come on, y'all. And if you go back, to the week when we preached about the orphan spirit, he is your dad. The creator of the universe is your dad. Come on, y'all. Watch. Elijah says this. I wrote this down as just a quote, as if Elijah was saying. Elijah would say, "I am assured that what I hear and what I see is based on what I heard God say. I know and I am assured that what I hear and what I see is based on what God has said to me," and tag this on, "and what God has showed me." He says, so if God can show me that the enemy is about to attack Israel, God also shows me that he's surrounding us right now. Listen, I am telling you, right where you are, no matter what you are walking through in your personal home, we are walking through political tension, racial tension, pandemic. And then there are things that you're walking through in your own home. And I know sometimes we can feel like we're saying, "Where is God?" Open my eyes, God. Open my eyes, because I know you're here. God is in the middle of all of this. He is surrounding you and I. If he says, "I'll never leave you or forsake you," why would we think that in the middle of this right now, he's not here? Watch. Open eyes are spiritually maturing eyes. So here's a couple of questions I have for you right now. You ready? And I wrote these down. I want to make sure you get them. What do you see when you see your life right now? What do you see when you see your life right now? What are you seeing when you see this pandemic? What are you seeing when you see the political tension right now? What are you seeing when you see the racial tension? What are you seeing when you look throughout your home? If you got marriage problems, what do you see? Can you see God in it? Or are we just looking through the eyes of like the servant? We're surrounded. Or can we today go, "God, open my eyes"? Because remember, open eyes are spiritually maturing eyes. And remember, children of God have to move from being children of God to men and women of God. Why? because I am going to be pursuing my dad at an intense rate because I want to know him as a person. I want to be in his presence, and I want to be able to walk in his power to when I say something, it will change. That when I pray, prayer changes things. That when I lay hands on someone that is sick, they get recovered. When I decree and declare a thing, it shall be done. Why? Because I'm declaring what my dad sees. I'm going to push away from childish and unnecessary behavior because I am going to allow God to mature me. And I'm going to rest in full assurance and trust in the Lord my God. Write this down. I might think that I'm seeing what I'm seeing, but I'm not seeing clearly until the Lord opens my eyes. I might think I'm seeing what I'm seeing, but I'm not seeing clearly until the Lord opens my eyes. I've been praying and praying for you because I can't see you. And so my prayer has been, along with Pastor Ty, has been, Father, don't let us leave this season of life stale. Father, mature us at a rate that brings us to the place where we're bold. You know, at some point we will gather again. There are spikes in sickness and illness right now, and we're not able to see each other. But we'll gather again. And do you know what I've been telling some of the team and our leaders is when we go back, we are going to make it a point to grow our church into a spiritual level of maturity by which every place where God has given us as a sphere of influence, the devil will know that we're there. Why? Because our eyes are open. And I am pursuing God at a rate by which I am maturing in him. So I might think I'm seeing what I'm seeing, but I'm not seeing clearly until the Lord opens my eyes. I'm going to prove it. 2 Kings chapter 6, 16 through 17, it says this. So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are against us." Verse 17, and then Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the, watch now, young man. He didn't call him servant. He called him young man. He gave us context. Open the eyes of the one who can't see spiritually yet. Look, he says, open his eyes. And it says, then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses, chariots of fire all around Elisha. Horses, chariots all around Elisha. Watch this. Write this down. Open eyes are matured by God to see what God sees. Opened eyes are matured by God to see what God sees. When God saw Elijah, he saw Elijah protected. He saw Elijah advancing. He saw Elijah speaking on his behalf. He saw Elisha safe and covered and moving on in his purpose and his destiny. When God sees you, he sees you protected. He sees you safe. He sees you covered. He sees you growing. The thing is that you and I have to be positioned in a place where God can open our eyes. I love it when we see here that the Elisha says, "Lord, I pray for my young servant. I pray that the one who isn't mature yet can grow in maturity. I pray that he has such an intensity and focus for the presence and the power and the person of who you are. I pray that he pushes aside the childish and the insignificant and rest in full assurance of who you are." And it says that as soon as he prayed, God opened his eyes, boom! And it says that the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, which meant that God said, let the spiritual maturity. Y'all like I'm doing my Bruce Lee. Look, he said, the spiritually immature is now going to grow. The children will now begin to grow into young men and women of God. And he says that when God opened his eyes, he could see what God sees. He could see what Elisha was seeing. Why? Because he had an encounter that opened his eyes. Remember, open eyes are spiritually maturing eyes. Watch. Let's keep going. Joel chapter 2, 28 through 29 says this. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Watch now. Your young men shall see visions. Also, my maidservants, my men servant, I will pour out my spirit on those days. Joel chapter 2, also repeated in Acts. In the book of Acts, it says, in the last days, I will pour my spirit. Watch. Your young men shall see visions. Your young men, your young women shall see visions. Shall what? Shall see. Open up his eyes. Open up his eyes. When God opens up your eyes, you will see what God sees. I don't know about you, but in the middle of all this chaos, tension here, tension there, chaos here, division trying to rise up, I'm asking God to show me what he sees. And I'm asking God to show you what he sees today. In the middle of your home, in the middle of your job, in the middle of things that are changing, in the middle of your families, in the middle of pandemic, in the middle of tension and division, ask God, what do you see? And then ask God to open your eyes. Write this down. Open eyes. Walk in spiritual maturity and authority to pray for blind eyes. Open eyes. Walk in spiritual maturity and authority to pray for blind eyes. See, Elisha had an encounter with God. Remember, I read it way back, 2 Kings chapter 2. And he had to engage. He had to keep his gaze on Elijah in order to have the Spirit of God hit him. And remember, you and I just said that if we're going to be spiritually mature, we have to have a consistent intensity for the person, presence, and power of God. See, when you and I nestle in on our open eyes being completely focused on God, and we're sitting and growing in spiritual maturity, we're moving from children of God to strong men and women of God, God says, now I can use you to impact somebody else. See, we walk in spiritual maturity and authority to pray for blind eyes. He said, Lord, touch him so that he can see what I see. See, that's the reason why sometimes when we declare things and we get a little negativity, when we say God's going to do, it's because sometimes the people that we talk to don't have open eyes and haven't nestled into the presence of God to be able to confirm or cheer you on when you say, I know God's going to heal my body. I know God's going to provide for me, because they're not looking through open eyes. See, he looks and he says, Lord, I'm praying that you touch him. And it says that God took the young one and said, your spiritual maturity begins today. And that's happening for some of you. But here's what's cool. If I have the authority to pray for blind eyes, this is what it also says. This caught me. Look at verse 18, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 18. Because in 17, he prays for his servant, and then God touches him. And the Bible says that it was the young man, and says that he could begin to see what God was doing, and that they were surrounded by chariots and horses of fire, which was the exact same attack of the enemy, right? The enemy sends out horses and chariots, and God's like, oh, what? And he was showing him, he's like, those who are for us are no match for those who are trying to rise up. Like, who we have is a lot more intense than what they have. So watch. But I realized in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 18, it says, so when the Syrians came down toward Elisha, Elisha prayed to the Lord again and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Listen, open eyes. Look at this. Open eyes, walk in spiritual maturity and authority to pray for blind eyes. Let me read it again. And so 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 18 says this. So when Elisha prayed and said, Lord, strike this people, I pray, with blindness, it says God struck them with blindness. See, when you and I keep our gaze and focused on God, and God says, I'm opening your eyes, and we settle in and we begin to grow into spiritual maturity. Watch now. We have the authority to pray for blind eyes, not only for blind eyes to open, but for us to look at the enemy and say, absolutely not. This attack will not come near my house. I love Psalms 91 where it says, nothing shall come near my dwelling. Nothing. Why? Because he's given his angels, watch, charge over me to keep me in all my ways. So you resting right now have the authority and power available to you in your consistent, intense pursuit of the person and the presence of God. You right now, as a maturing man and woman of God, if God opens your eyes, you can look at the enemy and say, not in my house, not in my city. I command the enemy's attack to be blinded and to move on to someplace else. See, Elisha shows us that if you and I allow God to open our eyes, if we push away childish and unnecessary behavior, and we rest in God and God alone, then when we step to the plate, we can say, I command for you to walk and to see God clearly. I declare that God is for you and he's available. Lord, open the eyes of my neighbor. God, let them have an encounter with you. God, let my family meet you. Lord, I pray for the lost people in my city. I pray for those that don't have in my city. Let them see that you're here and you're working for our good. See, you know what our nation needs? Our nation needs to go, God, you're welcome here. Father God, we need you. It's 2 Chronicles. If we humble ourselves and say, God, you're welcome back in the place. It says that he hears and he responds. Resting on the inside of you as you mature and grow in God, as you have the ability to say, God, open their eyes. But you also have the ability to say, not in my house, to the enemy. Not in my house. And one of the verses that's been resonating in me is when Jesus looked at Peter and he says, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. You are the church. See, open eyes. Say, Lord, give them a permanent revelation of who you are so they can see what you see. And then it says, the spirit that's rising up against me, my family, my community, my city, my church, my nation, needs to lose focus and head in some other direction. I want to declare to you and your family today, hear me clearly. I'm declaring to your house, if you're ready to go after God with a consistent intensity that pursues the person and presence and power of God, I'm telling you that God's going to begin to show you what he sees. How many of y'all are ready? Come on. If you're ready, come on, respond. Come on, respond. Be bold. I am ready to go after God like never before. If you're ready, then I'm going to ask you to do something bold. I'm going to ask you to put away some of the childish things, some of the things that are unnecessary behaviors. Put them away. Peter talked about it. Paul talked about it in the verse in Corinthians. Put them away and say, God, you have all of me. You have my full belief, because I am assured and I trust in you. The only other thing for me to do is to just say, Lord, I pray right now. And I'm going to pray for you. Come on, right where you are. I'm praying for you. Lord, I pray that you would open their eyes. Open our eyes, Lord God, so that you can see that you are for us. And if you're for us, you're more powerful than anything that's against us. I pray open eyes in Jesus' name. I pray a spiritual hunger and fire like never before. I pray, God, that we chase you and we find you. Your word says in Jeremiah that we will seek you and find you and we search for you with our whole heart. I pray that today is a redefining day, that we go after you like never before. I pray for spiritual authority to be able to speak life into others. And I pray for spiritual authority in homes that declare to the enemy, not here. Move on to someplace else. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you who haven't made a relationship with Jesus, there's a simple prayer that I'd love to pray along with you. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose again, that he comes in and you walk in relationship with him. And I would love to be able to share this experience with you, because salvation is an eye opener. Salvation is the moment where we go, I've been living life without Jesus, and I realize life with him will be so much more fulfilling. I'm praying in this moment, and we've been praying for you all week, that today you respond. Forget about all the other stuff, the mistakes that you've made. Those would be childish things. Don't worry about it. He takes you and I as we are. Today, I would love to pray for you. You're listening to me, and I know you are. No matter where you are, today's your day to say, God, I'm coming to you. Open my eyes. I want to receive you freely. And I'm going to pray a prayer, and all I want you to do is just pray it after me. It's simple. It really is. It's not anything religious. It's all about relationship with Jesus. You ready? Right where you are, even if you have already accepted Jesus, will you pray along with those men and women who are like, God, first step of maturity, I'm ready. I want to see you, Jesus, in my heart and in my life. You ready? Come on, pray with me. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you today needing you. I acknowledge that you died for me and you rose again. And today, I accept you freely as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, right where you are. Come on, can we make some noise? Can you make some noise? Come on. The Bible says that when one person receives Jesus, it says all of heaven goes crazy. And so there is literally a party taking place right now. Here's a couple of things I want you to do. I want you to text us or send an email, whatever it may be, but text us, I decided, yes, your name. Send us a text, a message that you received Jesus. My wife and I would love to connect with you and connect you with some other members of our team. The decision you made today, well done. Well done. The final thing that we're going to do today is that we are going to worship the Lord through our giving. This week, I got a message. We have been giving internationally to Venezuela, and I wish I could show you pictures, but for security reasons, I'm not able to show them. But we have been giving financially from your tithe and offering on a consistent basis to help through this pandemic and also some other things that they need. And I wanted to let you know that this week, because of your generosity, 50 people in Venezuela were able to receive medical treatment that they would not have gotten due to COVID. And so I want to say thanks yet again on behalf of my wife and all of City Place Church for your faithfulness to God during this time. I realize that these are different times, but the fact that you continue to trust God is really, really faith building in my life, and it's impacting those literally around the world. And so as you give today, and you can give at cityplacechurch.com/give. And as you prepare to do that, we're going to get ready to close out in prayer. But I want to remind you, sign up your students for Motion happening this Friday. And then don't forget, Sean and Lynette Reed are going to be with us live Friday night for date night. I guarantee you will be empowered and you will be blessed. Let me pray. And I can't wait to see you this Friday or Sunday right back here, City Place. Father, we love you. We thank you for lives being changed. Thank you for open eyes. Thank you for growing us into strong men and women of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Bless every seed that's sown today and let it continue to make an impact in our city and the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Can't wait to see y'all again. Have a great weekend.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.